Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Hey, everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we bring simplicity and joy to everyday life. Our ambition is to create a sense of ease and delight in the millions of moments that make up the human experience. It is this passion for bringing simplicity and joy to people all over the world that drives our team members each day. Thanks for joining us. This is, by the way, the rare verbatim quote from a brand's mission statement, because it is that generic, so generic that Rich didn't even let us see.
Yeah. He blocked out the link to what the mission statement is actually from.
He wants us to like guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll find out in a minute, but what if you had to guess, other than the It's a Thing podcast, obviously, whose mission statement would you say this is? Simplicity.
Oh, it's got to be like a generic company. I'm thinking like a Procter and Gamble-ish kind of ease and delight, passion for simplicity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Millions of moments.
It's toothpaste or something. Right? Soap. It's some kind of soap. What do you think?
I'm gonna go Walmart.
Oh, ambition and criticism.
I'm feeling
ease,
like
delight, simplicity, and joy. All
team
of the
members.
Yeah. All right. I'm
getting
gonna highlight
Walmart vibe. All right. Should we highlight?
Yeah.
Here we go. My goodness.
We were both in the neighborhood,
sort
but
of?
We were not on it, because they sell this
not at all
at yours. The Bic company that makes pens.
Bic! And apparently razors. Bic!
Oh, right, yeah.
That is hysterical and amazing. Wow. Bic. You know what? Bravo to these copywriters, because apparently they make lotion and like lighter, you know, we know they make lighters, Bic lighters and pens. And like, if you're that varied and every day, shall we say,
mm-hmm,
that's a pretty impressive accomplishment.
Rich had to look up to make sure they weren't owned by Procter and Gamble, which they're not. and then they definitely sell Bic pens at Walmart. So, you know, I feel like we're close.
I'm gonna give it to us because we can, because it's our show. Ha ha.
One thing that we don't have, because we're an audio podcast, but we could have transcripts, but we can't have closed captioning. Closed captioning on is for video. This is not new, certainly. In fact, I believe we may have talked about this certainly on the pre-show before.
I think so.
But the Wall Street Journal has done an article about how having closed captions on is now default for people in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have closed caption on with a video, people think something's wrong. Like, oh, is your closed captioning broken?
Is it broken? It is seriously so fascinating and so true. And why? But the fact that the Wall Street Journal has authored an article on September 17th of this, the year of our Lord 2022, with the lead, closed captions are cool now. Just ask anyone under 40.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you all you need to know. We were on this. I can't remember if we talked about it in the pre-show or the real show, but
yeah, it may have been the real show, maybe the pre-show. I didn't go
captioning,
go check. But
captioning for the kids is what's so interesting.
When we've talked about it before, we talked about more people doing it, not everyone in an age group doing it. That's the evolution of the thing that I'm identifying here.
Yeah, totally.
But it has to do, and just to be clear, we're not talking about subtitles, although that's certainly part of it. This is, you know, it's in the language I speak. I just want that language on there. We're also not talking about an accessibility need, although that is also certainly part of it. This is people who could hear otherwise, but they just are wanting to do something else, apparently, sometimes. So you have the closed captioning on so that you, you know, if you can't hear it because there's other things going on, you could at least see what they say. I have a friend who definitely does it for that reason, because he's got kids running around playing while he's trying to watch stuff.
And there's other noises. Yeah. That's true. My dogs are always alerting me that someone's nearby anywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. It's hilarious how we get way more angry with our dogs barking at nothing when it's House of the Dragon versus a Korean show, because the Korean show has the subtitles.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah. I am really, really curious about the evolution of this. And I have two thoughts. One, I hope that it's just not that everybody's been using like headphones at such a loud volume, which is that we have like
that we have actual hearing loss,
super widespread hearing loss, and we don't realize. I also think sound mixing is just shitty in modern video, and I'm not sure why. I mean, certainly it is on YouTube. Like, for so if you were like Gen Z and you just kind of grew up watching YouTube videos where the sound mixing is legit terrible, you probably had the subtitles or captions on all the time. And now you're just used to it and you prefer it.
There's a lot of TikTok stuff that just auto captions because the algorithms have got better at that. And because people are sometimes in places where they're like, I want to see my TikToks, but I can't have the sound up because I'm in a public place on the train, whatever. So I think that contributes to it as well.
Yeah, I think so. Like just the rise in mobile video consumption. Probably. And even like Netflix on the go, right? Even if you're on the plane, it's still easier to. Have the subtitles on. And then it just, I mean, honestly, I do it. Like we do it all the time. I almost go now by default to turn it on if it's not already. I'm like, oh, turn on the captions.
You're so under 40 though. So, you know, that makes sense. I'm not.
I'm not at all. No, I just can't hear it. In fact, me complaining about how the sound mixing is all terrible is probably just.
Sound mixing is all over the place though. That's a really good point. And sometimes people complain about sound mixing on professional stuff where I'm like, it's probably your speakers. But well, that's not the whole of it. It's certainly the varying quality levels of things in YouTube, TikTok, et cetera.
And also maybe even in streaming services. Like, I wonder if they're all being streamed at different bit rates. Like, I wonder, could that be
like adaptive streaming? If you're on a less than quality speaker, maybe it's the built-in speaker for your TV, and you have a less robust internet connection and the codec scrunches things down, that could sound like crap for sure.
Right? And so I wonder, so if you were like in your Roku experience and you switched from Netflix to Hulu to YouTube to this or that, like I could imagine that some services, like the sound, I notice that the sound changes dramatically, the actual volume. From one service to the next to a YouTube video.
Yeah. I think it's varying sound quality for all these reasons we're talking about. It's varying quiet environments. We don't sit down and watch TV as much as
No, exactly.
You know, in my day, the family would sit down and watch TV together.
Sit around the TV.
They wouldn't do other things.
And you'd only have one screen. Now kids are on
their laptops and they're playing the video games. But no, it's true. Like, the TV is not as central as it once was. And so having captions helps you keep up. Then there's the mobile stuff, which I think especially drives it in the younger demographics where they're watching YouTube, watching TikTok regularly with captions on. So it just becomes like, oh, that's what you do when you watch video.
Yeah. So interesting. I feel like actually, and thanks to Rich for pointing out, it was Manny who mentioned TikTok captions being a thing in March 2021. I think we've sort of danced around it a bunch since then. But I now think that at this late stage, the journal is focusing on the wrong thing, which is, sure, captions are a thing, but like, what's wrong with all the sound? That would be a really interesting story.
That's a follow-on. That's a good follow-on. Yeah.
So I have never heard of this, or had never heard of this, but evidently it is enough of a thing that Wired wrote about it. And I found it on Twitter, and I am just totally fascinated by it. It's evidently called Date Me Docs, as in documents. Because apparently, yes. Tom's like, I have questions.
Yes. Go ahead.
Date me documents. Instead of evidently trying to write some kind of a dating profile, mm-hmm. or in as a follow-on, an additional, an appendix, if you will, mm-hmm. to your dating profile, people are writing long form documents about why someone should date them.
So like a pet resume.
It's like a pet resume, but for people.
But for you.
But for you.
Because it's because the reason I picked pet resume, not just resume, is in a work resume, you're very focused on here's my experience, here are my skills, right? Mm-hmm. With if I'm getting this right, this is more about here's who I am. Here's my personality.
Here's who I really am.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of
what
times,
you do with a pet resume is you don't go like, my dog is really good at sit. You be like, my dog is happy. He doesn't, you know, doesn't chew things. He's great around the house. You know, like you talk about their personality.
Yeah. And evidently it's a lot of times like not associated with an app. Like presumably you could link so to like, your date me doc in your profile, but mm-hmm. it's just people who are like writing a Google doc off app.
Uh-huh.
To just kind of be like, I want to optimize this experience a little bit more. If I meet someone, I'll send it to them.
So this is, I was going to say, how do they figure out who to send it to? Then?
The writer, and according to Wired, the writer and rationalist Jacob Falkovich has a meetup/date me page on his blog, which links to Google Forms for each category.
It's the decentralization of online dating.
It totally is.
Wow.
One therapist listed here has shared a link to a page with testimonials from past partners.
Do you just put it on your link tree?
You just put it on your link tree. And one of the people who did it says it's about optimizing for partnership. And this woman added a link to a date me doc in her Twitter bio.
This is very efficient, which is
isn't it
what you want out of dating, techie. I assume. I haven't dated in a long time.
I guess you want to fail fast. In the lingo,
move fast and break up.
Move fast and break up. Oh my god, that's amazing. Okay, actually, I want to make that dating app. The move fast and break up dating app.
Speed dating is too slow.
Speed dating too slow. Move fast and break up. Anyway, date me docs.
Date me docs. This is a great find. I'm fascinated because I think it is indicative of some other things, some of which I'm not sure what they are, but that sort of like taking back control that people feel, you know, like doing off app stuff for social media and stuff. Yes. You see people doing that too, like mm-hmm. entering the dating world. That's fascinating.
And like putting it, on your platform, on your platform of choice on your terms. Instead of like, oh, I have this awkward thing that's not really about me on Bumble or whatever.
Can I get your phone number? No, but you can have the redirect URL to my date me talk.
Talk about romance. I'm
it's
guessing
about
this
not
is Fringe.
/date me Bob.
I mean, could this? I actually just want to believe that what this heralds is the return of the personal blog. Like, let's go.
What if GeoCities could come back as a on the backs of date me docs
as like a long form dating platform.
And so you're in your neighborhood based on interests.
I mean, this is incredible. And actually it could be called, that could be what fail fast and break up is long form. So that you fail faster because you don't have to wait 3 years to find shit out.
Yeah. It's just like, Good catch. NeoCities, Rich pointed out, neocities.org, waiting for you.
Oh, stop it.
It's there.
NeoCities.
Uh-huh.
Dude, incredible.
Anyone can create a date me doc. I mean, website.
This is what's so great about it. It's a thing, is you just never know when you're going to come out of it with a startup idea, apparently.
Move fast and break up. Well, that leads very nicely into my other thing today.
What? Which we did not plan this.
Continued and more frequent usage of that's my love language,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like has kind of replaced the slightly more problematic that's my spirit animal for a lot of people.
I think you're absolutely right. That is a perfect observation about the evolution and increased usage. That's so true because it has become more generically employed to sort of mean like, you are in sync with me. This is simpatico.
Or it's just a thing I like. I hear
it's
people.
It's not about love. Right. It's like my, you know, hot chocolate.
Yeah. Or, yeah. I'm trying to think of something that it doesn't sound like a dating situation and it's suddenly become very hard because of what we were just talking about. Reading Scientific American in the afternoon, that's my love language. It's like, right. Oh, it's not about that turns me on. It's like, that's just something I really enjoy.
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's such a good, and it really has like, it's just shorthand for all things.
Yeah, for thing I like.
Thing I like, exactly.
Thing that is
ooh,
essential
hocus
to me.
Are my love language right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's like, it's not just, oh, I like that. It's, oh, this is part of me. This is a essential part of my personality.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a quick news search because I do think it's just like so common. It's no longer about just, I mean, now it's all still like, take the love language test, but that's not what we mean at all.
No,
we mean
it's
just hopped. Super generic usage.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you could include your love language in your date me doc, and it wouldn't be as saucy as it sounds, Offie James.
It wouldn't be.
Because it would just mean like, oh, these are you know, things that I really love.
Did you know that the actual, like the romantic version of the love language situation came about in 1992?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's been percolating for a minute, hasn't it?
I know. And there were only five then. Little did you know that it could also now include Uggs and hanging plants.
Hanging plants are my love language. That's a great
hanging
example.
Hanging plants are my love language.
Yeah. Where it's like, it's not, I don't mean if you want to date me, you have to bring me a hanging plant.
Yeah.
It just
I'm just
means
super
I love
into
hanging
it.
Plants. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Guys, the plant situation, by the way, has gotten out of control. I don't know if you saw my Instagram story. But I finally caved to the Monstera FOMO.
Ah, oh, you did it. You finally did it.
Plant. Yeah. I don't know why I thought I was too good for those plants. They're gorgeous. Because they had them at Trader Joe's for $13 when I went to buy seasonal decor.
That's not bad.
No, it was a great price for a Monstera plant.
And they're in good shape. Yeah. Why not?
That is, however, not my thing. But crazy plant lady continues. My final thing is just like, I need to just say it. It's here. It's never going away.
Mm-hmm.
AI art.
Nailed it.
Like, why wouldn't I have said that weeks ago either? It's so irritating how it just becomes, this is exactly one of those things that just became like air, an air thing.
Can't spell air without AI.
An ether thing. Hey, good one.
No,
and yes, no, it's.
I think this is the week it happened, though. I think you timed it perfectly because what was crayon called before? It was like mini Dolly or something.
Yeah,
before they changed
mini
the name.
Dolly or
yeah,
something.
Mm-hmm. We did that. Like, oh, yep. That's a Dolly mini. Thank you. We did that, and we talked on the pre-show a lot about like, oh, people are doing a lot more AI, but we covered it twice on Daily Tech News Show this week because. It is snowballing. It is turning the corner. It has arrived as that's a thing some people are doing over in the corner, which is where a lot of AI stuff has been. It is mainstream now. It is, oh, crap, we need legislation to deal with the intellectual property aspect of this. Is it ethical for people to do this? Here, New York Magazine did an entire story on all the different examples of artists that are using it as a tool. Like, this feels like the time that it finally like burst the dam and now it's in the public consciousness. So I think you picked the perfect week for it.
This is making me so happy. Thank you. Because I agree. It did because it's funny because I've had it in the bullpen, but this was just like, it has become this huge drumbeat. And then I happened to see a headline about how Getty Images is like, we will not allow any AI originated content because we don't want to deal with the copyright issues and don't even know how to start.
They don't want the liability. I don't blame them either. Like if I'm them, I'm doing the same thing. It's like, till y'all figure that out, we're going to make a policy and we're going to put a filter in place so that we have plausible deniability if anybody comes at it. And then y'all figure out your legislation and get back to us and then we'll adapt. They're not the only one. Shutterstock has limited it in search results. They haven't as of this recording, made a public announcement about any policy. But if you search for it, you can't find it anymore.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. Here's the New York Magazine article. I totally had missed that. That's so great because, yeah, it's just gonna, I mean, won't it be interesting if AI art becomes a thing that just sort of invalidates like intellectual property? Like that would be amazing because it's going to have to change.
It's going to have to change. We had a whole big thing, not only on DTNS, but Good Day Internet with Scott Johnson about it and his, you know, feelings as an artist.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to, I think, I'm not saying this is what will happen, but it's probably what should happen, which is everything about putting, training the algorithm on other people's works is fair use, right? It's that because mm-hmm. we have plenty of laws that are like, you can scrape, you know, you can index things for a search engine. There's lots of precedent there. So that feels less controversial to say like, no, to train on public available, as long as you have the right to access it, right? To train on publicly available material is fine. That doesn't infringe. Where it gets tricky is I constructed my text instructions such that it did a really good job imitating Scott Johnson's art. Mm-hmm. Does he get to do what he would do if I pretended to be him online? If I'm clear and like, Scott didn't make this, right. I made it through Midjourney, you know?
Right. Or people are putting in queries too that include copyrighted material such as like The Simpsons.
Right. Right.
And then it's like, what happens?
And if I drew that myself, well, there would be a fair use test. Like, did mm-hmm. I transform it and all of that? So I think there just needs to be clarification that the result of the AI is what needs to be judged, mm-hmm. not the fact that it was made by the text to image tool.
Right.
And we need to have clarification about all that. There needs to be either court cases or legislation and all that sort of thing. And I feel like there needs to be a new rule made around imitating people that's similar to the likeness stuff that we have for, you know, if I pretend to be somebody on a commercial that I'm not, mm-hmm. I can't use mm-hmm. their likeness, even though it's not them.
And likeness statutes are going to probably have to be dramatically expanded because don't they mostly apply to public figures now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yep. I mean, maybe not dramatically.
I don't know. I'm not that familiar.
But you
expanded.
Yeah. They're going to have to be adjusted for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting that we have been talking and, you know, I mean, this is how every change comes, right? Slowly at first and then all of a sudden, all at once. And this feels like the deluge all of a sudden. It's like AI was not. Mm-hmm. And now it is. It's like when your baby turns into a toddler and you're like, holy crap, they're a little human.
Yeah.
I think AI just got a little human.
It did. This was the thing where people were like, oh, that's fun. I want to do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And once you get that, it either burns out and it's not fun anymore, or it's like, huh, I know this is fun, but it's also useful for X. And that's what's changing, I think, with the AI art.
Yeah.
Is people are realizing, oh, I can make 600 to 1,000 images for my video game without having to pay. It's something I couldn't have paid for because I don't have the budget, but now I can do it.
Right.
You know,
I read something the other day. It was maybe a Medium post or maybe a tweet or about, I don't know, but it was basically like, we are entering an era where the marginal cost of creation is about to go to zero.
Cost of creation has been plummeting, right? And it's just, it's getting farther and farther down. It's what's the Zeno's arrow? Is that it? Where you're like always approaching zero, but you never hit it. Like that arrow's closer and closer and closer.
We're hella close. Yeah. Hella close. So anyway, yeah. AI art. This has been a Daily Tech News Show. No, it's so interesting and good. It's like, oh, what a world. What a world.
Yeah. No, it's you picked it perfectly.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. This show is so magical. Also magical, you, dear listeners, our wonderful audience, and the feedback and extra things, the bonus things that you send us week after week to feedback@itsathing.me. Andrew wrote in on decorating. Molly, Tom, and Rich, getting started with seasonal decorating early is definitely a thing, but the ending isn't Christmas by a long shot.
Oh, no.
I lived in Secaucus, New Jersey about a decade ago and ran through the neighborhoods where I could watch the decoration progress. Starting in September, it went fall, optional. Halloween, Thanksgiving, optional, Christmas, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Memorial Day, with some of that stuff staying up until the 4th. If we could add a decoration-heavy August celebration, they could complete the cycle.
Man, we just need to get Labor Day here in the U.S. to be more decorative.
We really do, and then we'd be there for August, yeah.
I guess that's September, the beginning of September.
I will say my mother does most of these decorations. Yeah, she does the St. Patrick's
and the Easter flags. And
Valentine's Day.
These are the decorative flags.
Right, I mean, I have straight up seasonal decor on my stoop right now. I can never judge again.
August straight is back up. To school. Can you decorate your house back to school?
I wonder.
Can you? Crayon blow up dolls.
I mean, well, I think you can.
Little.
The fall decorations can start in August, is the thing. They don't have to, you don't have to wait till September for that. But August is like vacation month. I think that's the week, that's the month you get off.
Yeah. And you don't want to hang a flag out that says we're not home. That's a bad idea.
Right. Totally.
We're on vacation. Rob us.
Okay. I think August, you just go with like some flamingos or something.
Yeah.
Not saying I know a woman who does that.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. But well done, Andrew. Dan needs a thing check. Check on aisle Dan. Hi, Molly and Tom and Rich. I've come across a subset of Facebook and Instagram reels and or TikTok videos that feature riddles. These seem to persuade the user to rewatch, in effect feeding the algorithm. Along the same vein is the "Did you see it?" subset. I'm sure there are other types of videos primed to maximize hover time and or number of replays. I'm annoyed by these videos, but mostly with myself for playing into their hands more times than I care to admit. Is this recognized as a thing?
Okay, this is actually amazing because I have not seen this, but it goes perfectly with the wait for it thing that we talked about. Wait for it, which makes you watch to the end of the video even if nothing much happens.
Wait for it. Oh, it was disappointing.
Did you see it or a riddle? No, it's not dinner time. No. Do you hear this?
I do. I do. And if you're wondering what if Molly has broken, no, she's talking to her dogs because I know exactly that tapping because we get it in our house from our dogs.
And the talking and the whatever. No, absolutely not. They're on a little bit of a diet. I don't know if you can tell. And then Professor Art writes in from the Philippines on a response to quiet quitting. Hello, holy Tom, Molly.
Holy tamale.
Holy tamale. I mean, I get it, but I like the holy idea. Now that quiet quitting is the silent battle cry of the disillusioned rebel workforce, it seems that the empire is striking back because now there's quiet firing. It's when managers notice that some employees are not giving their 101% to the company and so keep them out of any promotion opportunities. Mm-hmm. In other words, nothing has really changed except for the terms. There will always be slackers, the Gen X term, and management will notice and not mark them for promotions. When Gen Alpha, the new generation, grows up, they'll probably invent a new term as well for discovering the joys of slacking off. Love the show, as always. This is so perfect because, like, yeah, what's really a thing here is how we need to freaking label everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like, yeah, every organization has hitters and sitters.
Because two paragraphs into this, I was like, well, no, when you quiet quit, you know you're not going to get promoted. That's just the way. And then he is like, in other words, nothing changed. I'm like, oh,
in other words,
Art's got it. Okay.
Exactly how work always has worked and will work forever.
Indeed. I think Gen Z is into the quiet quitting more than the millennials even.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. Go Gen Z. Yeah. Slackers. Go Gen Z. All right. You know who's not a slacker? Hardworking Rich Strofolino, our producer, who every week makes bespoke artisan small batch shout outs just for the people at the top level on our Patreon to thank them for the extra support that they give us.
That's right. We are so grateful for that support that this week our shout outs are based on a description of the Baby Bliss Pro Cold Brush.
The what? Oh, wow. Cryo care. Air conditioning that uses freezing temperatures to hydrate and revitalize. How does it use freezing temperatures to hydrate?
Well, let me explain. Mike Akins introduces a revolutionary state-of-the-art styling tool applying cryotherapy benefits to Joe Hood. Oh. Miranda Janelle can extract moisture from the hair, but the cold Benjamin Forrest adds moisture back in, hydrating Jake Woods, improving the Lee Price and condition. Reaching freezing temperatures, Morristones transfers moisture from the air into the hair shaft, aligning each Gabriel Cohen, revitalizing Eric Duncan, making him softer, smoother, and shinier.
I get it now. So Kevin Sill looks and feels amazingly healthy. Engineered with a thermoelectric cooler, TEC, Laura Abel is based on the Loewy-Sena-Moore effect. The TEC has two ceramic insulated plates with two types of Andrew Bradley, positive and negative, between the plates in parallel formation. When electricity flows through James C. Smith, heat transfers away through his bottom while creating cold temperatures on the top.
I think these shout outs officially get a wait for it tag.
Wait for it. Oh my gosh. I actually do understand now how it works.
Oh yeah. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. Science.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah, totally. I think I kind of want to try this though. I mean, it's true that if you use the cold setting on your hair dryer, it gets a little more shine.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know why.
Well, it's because of the Kevin Sill.
Right. It's the Kevin Sill.
And the Morris-Jones transfer.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to It's a Thing, for supporting us at patreon.com/It's a Thing. And don't forget, you can come on down to our Discord when we record and chat with us live if you're a patron.
You can also email us. Our email address is feedback@itsathing.me. That at is an at symbol, though. Don't get confused.
At symbol. At symbol. Email people. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Give it to me.
It's $150?